So we're gonna finish up this last bit. Unfortunately, we're also, as we last week, have to apologize for not getting to Proudhon. But this is really, really important for us to discuss. When we hear that the Navy was not interested in what was just described that Nikola offered to them, that tells us everything with our now a little bit more advanced understanding of the secretiveness, duplicity, and sheer audacious, total amorality of these power guys. We absolutely know that they have been lying and that they lied to him and have never stopped lying since about what Nikola unfortunately gave to them. You know good and well they would never say they were not interested in that, or never actually not be. Of course, they would say they were not interested. That they would really not be interested is completely unbelievable. You know, in the history of power, never would they ever not be interested in supreme military advantage. When word of this, and it is the fact that no one would know what had destroyed him that grabbed them. I absolutely know this. I mean, it must have sent their thoughts just soaring, giddy with the possibilities of that. And I'm sitting here, one of the results. You know, people can't prove it. They are obsessed with things you can't prove it. That's what they say to people being hurt by them with this EMF weapon. You can't prove it. And they go merrily along their way. So Nikola is this big loose end, this big gaping loose end that we have to ensure is used to strangle them. We cannot let this continue for the sake of any possibility of living without these chains on us. We cannot let this continue any further. Continuing. When word of this got out of this military capability to launch vehicles and attack ships unmanned, when word of this got out, he received from Mark Twain, then in Austria, a letter in which the humorist wrote, "Have you Austrian and English patents on that destructive terror which you have been inventing? And if so, won't you set a price upon them and concession me to sell them? I know cabinet ministers of both countries and of Germany too. I shall be in Europe a year yet." Here in the hotel the other night, when some interested men were discussing means to persuade the nations to join with the Tsar and disarm, I advised them to seek something more than disarmament by perishable paper. Invite the great inventors to contrive something against which fleets and armies would be helpless, and thus make war thenceforth impossible. I did not suspect that you were already attending to that and getting ready to introduce into the earth permanent peace and disarmament in a practical and mandatory way. So you see the implication of this, what Mark Twain is pointing out. These power guys, and it is a global bunch of totalitarians, had the capacity in 1898 to end war. This was what Nikola kept saying to them as World War I and II loomed. They had the capacity to end armed conflict. But the possibility of having an invisible capability to use against us. We had, see, this is the importance of doing the analysis, of understanding that it is we, the people, not amassing bucks, that is their sole obsession, controlling us. Without our energy, they are nothing. And they are very much determined to not be nothing. Mark Twain says, "I did not suspect that you were already attending to that and getting ready to introduce into the earth permanent peace and disarmament in a practical and mandatory way. I know you are a very busy man, but will you steal time to drop me a line?" says Mark Twain. But Margaret concludes, "The concept was too advanced." No, Margaret, no. And those in charge of American defense declared it an impossible dream. When Nikola demonstrates, and this is, remember Madison Square Gardens? Demonstration of robotics. It is not possible, given the actual demonstration of it, for anyone to say it was an impossible dream. They were all over this man. What Nikola needed and continues to need, what Prince now needs, what we need, is for us to step up, share and disseminate what we're learning about Nikola Tesla and the theft and suppression of his gifts that are for us, to free us from work, and to share information and discuss the murder of Prince, the use of Nikola Tesla's EMF weapon to torture and suppress dissent. It is monopolizing the knowledge resources, including the knowledge, by the way, of how a system of class really works by means of totalitarian child rearing and the acceptance, getting us to accept a continuously reinforced hierarchy, and how that this is only achieved by means of coercion, i.e. what is truly happening in our world, presently captured by the power guys, only by us not stepping up, that this foul arrangement is continued, in which criminals in Sunday suits, those most barren of soul guidance, the hollowed out, substanceless, and heart dead, determine the quality of our souls, our world. The continuance of life itself demands that we renounce the whole notion of leadership and put in its place fully developing individualities, fully developing individuals associating freely to establish a world without coercion and without rank. Continuing with chapter 16, seeing and being seen by the right people compelled Nikola to function as both a day and night person. Nights in a row passed during which he scarcely closed his eyes. An inevitable consequence of this frenetic schedule was that his friends became compartmentalized, i.e. Nikola was put in an isolation unit, as was I, as was Prince, before he realized what was going on, surrounded by agents, a containment unit. His friends became compartmentalized, occupying cells of his life that others were unaware of. Intimates, such as the Johnsons, for example, had no idea of the prominence or even the identity of some of his newer confidants, which is not to say that they were ever displaced in his affections. The daylight hours were important for beseeching his patron, Morgan, to advance funds more rapidly, for reminding him that inflation was threatening to sink the ship. He met with other potential investors. He pleaded with manufacturers to expedite machinery and advance credit. And while he remained in New York, he wrote daily letters of instruction to Scherf. And next week, we will continue our reading, perhaps jumping ahead a little bit, of chapter 16, Ridiculed, Condemned, Combated, in Margaret Cheney's, and I'll jump ahead a little bit because maybe not, but it's really depressing. seeing the degree to which false folk get placed around him. And in the absence of our being able to know who's real and who isn't in these people who descend upon him, I hesitate to be part of a process of a scheme to mislead. So I'm thinking about that. So we'll continue. Chapter 16, ridiculed, condemned, combated in Margaret Cheney's Tesla, Man Out of Time. And apologies to Proudhon and for going over. Thank you so much for listening. And I do have a few archival shows lined up, so please stay tuned to listen to them. Our outro song continues the theme we sort of began with, which is the internationalism of Prince, which has been a striking feature of his what I've been calling his strategic precocity. Love the man so much. Thank you. I love you. Till next week. Peace. Yes, boy.
Amour dans vos draps, faire l'amour, où nous I'll hold for a moment.